good? We good? We good? All right, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. I'm telling you. I know you guys well enough to know this. You guys are crazy. If Joe Biden walked out, you'd do the same thing. All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be with you. By the way, Tim, thanks for coming today. I appreciate that. Came to see you last night. You weren't even around, man. So I'm glad you're here today. Oh! All right. It's good to be with you guys today. What a treat. What a blessing. I can tell you guys are really desiring to hear from God today. It's just deep. And so praise the Lord. Man, that's good. It's good to see our young people. By the way, I was trying to find all of you. I see, of course, Maddie's in the front row, extra spiritual, loves Jesus. Then Jasmine's there in the second row. She just woke up, and appreciate that. And then I saw, of course, Jacob, my son, over here. And Jacob's sitting there with his mother and Tim. I'm just saying. Now, where's Andrew? Where's Andrew at? I couldn't find Andrew. There he is. All right, man. The lights, man, they're coming at you. And we were with Andrew Walton, living the dream. And then Peter back there. I see Peter just chilling. But then I couldn't find Keegan. Get him. And Keegan, I looked for you in the front. I looked for you on the sides. And I looked in the back. And there he was. Keegan, don't worry. Church head's coming. Nah, praise the Lord. By the way, Brother Judah did forget to say one thing, and that's 24 years married, 23 years at Bible Baptist Church, 47 years a Packers fan. And so praise the Lord. Woo! By the way, if you don't know me, my wife and I tease, and our love language is sarcasm. And so I tend to be a little sarcastic. I saw something on Facebook, and so it has to be true. But those people that are sarcastic actually have a healthy mind. I'm one of the healthiest-minded individuals that you've ever met. And so when you look at this man today, this is a picture of health and vitality. And so now I praise the Lord. It's an honor to be here. I would ask somebody to pinch me and wake me up, but I don't want Brother King touching me. Whoa! And so, all right. I was here last night and came into the dorms and went into one of the dorm rooms, and the guys were talking about a Bible general knowledge quiz test. Yeah. So I thought I'd be a help, and I want to extend some, you know, options to get you some right answers. So you need to have a phone a friend option. Okay? All right, phone a friend. There needs to be, okay, for one question, like, you know, I mean, come on, now this needs to happen, all right? Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying it should happen, all right? There should also be a phone your pastor option. Yeah. All right, and then if you have no earth, now I'm right. Is there a Bible trivia quiz coming up? All right. What is it? Is it general information, doctrinal dissertation, just good luck, God be with you? All right. Okay, but here's what happens. Here's some answers to write in if you get stuck, all right? So I grew up in Christianity. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents got saved right before I was born. And so I had the privilege of going to Sunday school as a kid and being in church growing up, you know, paying attention, not paying attention, you know, all them good things. But you learn some things by just being there. And so these are some answers that you can use when you get stumped on that trivia quiz, all right? Here's first one. Of course, this one's just obvious. Jesus is the answer. All right? But if you get stumped on more than one, which I feel there's a strong likelihood that some of you, that may happen to. So this is what you read. This is what you write. The Lord will reveal it in His time. Whoa. That's good. That's deep. All right. That's deep. That's Bible. Okay, now we're going to use one from David. I have not yet proved them. That's fair. And then we're going to use the Apostle Paul. He said, not as though I had already attained. And so I'm just trying to be a help this morning. And I know some, how many of you are freaking out about it? Okay? I feel like I've been a help already today. And so we could go to an invitation and some of you would come forward. I know that. But take your Bibles. Take your Bibles to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And I heard one of the students told me that the staff and faculty took the Bible trivia question or quiz. Some did. All right. So very good. All right. And so, amen. From what I heard, Brother Judah wrote the test and he didn't even get it all right. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Let's stand together and reverence the word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 23. All right. We're going to start with verse number 8. 2 Samuel chapter 23. When I got the phone call to be asked to preach in chapel, and what a privilege, what an honor. A lot of memories here, a lot of fun times, a lot of things. I saw Brother Pete and Brother Goodall, the first two staff members, when I walked into the college today, and I actually got the jitters, man. And Brother Pete used to be the discipline counselor, and Brother Goodall was my dorm soup. First thing, Brother Pete was very gracious, and, you know, just welcomed me and very warmly, and just said, "So good to see you." I don't think he was telling the truth, but that's okay. I'll take it. All right. And then Brother Goodall said, "Brother Goodall, I got some demerit slips for you." Brother Goodall, I love you. Not very much, but I love you. And so after the service, I guess I got to go work some offenses off. Something about moving a wood pile. I know, but I do. And that's all that matters. And so, praise God, I moved many wood piles. That's how I passed room check. All right? Just saying. Some of you won't get that. You can ask your parents. They'll tell you. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 8. The Bible says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite." That's a tough guy. All right? Like you go to school, you know, show and tell. You're like, "My dad is Dodo." And you got to defend your dad, right? And then you go, "Dodo the Ahohite." Dude, you know there's a line. All right, you're going to have to defend. And so, I mean, just that guy, I really feel like the Lord had it in store for him to be a mighty man from the moment he was born. But we got Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him, only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. As soon as I got that phone call, I knew what the Lord would have me to preach. And I pray that I'll be a help and a blessing to you young people today. Let's pray. Father, come to you this morning. Thank you so much for this one incredible opportunity. Lord, I don't deserve to be here. And Father, I know that my flesh, there's no good thing. And Lord, yet you saw fit to save me. You saw fit to reach down. Lord, you allowed me to come to this college years ago. Father, I met my wife here and learned some wonderful things, saw some ministry in action, was able to be a part of that. And Father, been able to serve you now. And Lord, I know today, even today, there's nothing I've done that makes me worthy of you, makes me worthy of this. But I pray that you'd use me in the next couple moments. Lord, I need your help. Father, I pray that as I speak, that Father, you'd have me to say only what you'd want me to say. And then Father, I would pray that, Lord, every heart would listen. God, I know beyond all shadow of a doubt that today, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, but I know the Holy Spirit is speaking. And I pray that we'd listen, and I pray that we'd have ears to hear. Now, Father, do a work. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I like to have fun. I like to crack jokes, but this is a serious message. It is. We might smile. We might laugh a little bit here and there, but I want you to grab hold of this because I sat where you sat. At the age of 19, I just turned 19, I came to this college. The first time I came to this college, I grew up in a fundamental Baptist church in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, but we're a local church. Our city is 5,500. Our county is 15,000. And it's a small area, all right? It's kind of funny, but people ask, you know, what's in Prairie du Chien? Walmart, okay? I mean, and I'm not lying, all right? We got Walmart, hotels, gas stations, and a few restaurants, and so be it. You know, that's just what Prairie du Chien is, and it's kind of the hub of the county, for better lack words, but it is what it is, and I'm thankful for that. But I came to college here, man, was I a fish out of water, all right? I came to college the first day, and on the first day back then, you got to meet Brother Hiles and get your picture taken with him. All these kids came to college. I'm sure Brother King, he's from a great church in Oshkosh. They're big time, and praise God, his dad's... Brother Randy's awesome, all right? Have you guys heard Brother King, Brother Andy King? That guy's excellent, man. He's awesome. Crazy, but he's awesome. And, you know, but I'm sure when Brother King came to college, he had the shirt and tie. First day of college, blue jeans, a Superman t-shirt, and a baseball cap. And I'm standing there, and I still got the picture, me next to Brother Hiles. And I was, you know, kind of like, as Brother Hiles, and I'm sure he thought, what in the world is wrong with us accepting something like this? But praise God, you learn later on they take anybody, and so that's why you're here. And so, but no, it was what it was, man. I was a fish out of water, and I came into this, and honestly, I love the Bible, I love the scriptures, I love being a Baptist, I love being independent, I love being fundamental, I love being what God would have me to be. I have no doubt in my mind that this is what God would have me to be, and I'm thankful for that. But I have watched many young people that I sat with change directions. I'm not standing here today in judgment of them. They'll stand and answer to God, okay? So I'm not trying to be judgmental or condemning in any way, shape, or form, but they've changed. And I want today to walk you through a progression, and I want to help you understand how a good church goes astray. I'm 47 years old. I'm not old, regardless of what my children tell me. But I've seen things happen. I've seen churches change. I've watched Christians change. I've watched families change. And I've sat back and I've asked myself the question, why? Why? What happened? Why does this take place? Well, in this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 23... there's a story of three men. We're introduced, first of all, to Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Dude, that's a mighty man. Wouldn't that not be awesome? That's the guy I want to go into battle with. I'll be like, Adino, you kill him, and I'll just count him. Right? You know, I just love that, man. There he goes, all right? And that's Adino. No question, this guy was a mighty man and the chief among them. Then we're introduced to Eleazar, and I already talked about his dad, but listen to me. This man fought so long and so hard that his hand clave onto the sword. I've wondered many times, I really have, as this guy is fighting and he's going, man. All right, here's Eleazar, and he's letting it rip, and he's in the middle of battle. I growing up, we split wood, all right? That's how we heated our home. And so Dad, we'd go cut it, and we'd bring it down to the house and take a maul, and we'd split that wood, all right? And I was like lightning. I never hit the same spot twice, you know, but you'd boom, all right? And bury that maul head into that, and if you got a good one, that wood would bang, you know, and fly apart. But here's the deal, all right? I'm going to tell you right now, after a while, your hands would start to almost, the muscles would atrophy, and they'd almost be fixed that handle. When you're done, you'd have to kind of peel your fingers back. And I wondered if he swung that sword so long and so hard that his muscles almost atrophied. I'm a guy, all right? I like blood and guts, all right? You know, I do. I enjoy that. I wonder if he fought so long and so hard. And some of you girls are like, disgusting, gross, all right? You know, I don't care. All right, deal with it, ladies, all right? But I'm married. I don't need to get one. All right? I got one. But he fought so long, and so I wonder if the blood began to just you know, just splatter everywhere. Because come on, man. When you're you see the movies now, it's like, no blood. Dude, come on. I mean, there was blood and guts everywhere. I mean, you're hacking, just going to town and blood. And I wonder, man, if he fought so long and so hard that the blood had just dripped down his hand and on his arm and just dried there. I have no idea, but I love to think about it. Isn't that a great story? As he's just in battle and he's waging war, man, he's going to town. And so we got these two great men. We got Adino, 800 men. We got Eleazar, fought so long and so hard, they had to peel his hand off of the sword. And then we come to Shammah. And here's what he did. It's great. He defended a field of lentils. So it's like, boom, 800 men. Yeah! Eliezer. Man, his hand was stuck to the sword. What a great man. And then Shammah. What'd you do?
Well, quite frankly, I defended a field of lentils.
Now, in the Greek, I looked that up. It means lentils. I'm from America. I've never had a lentil. I've had many things, but I've never had a lentil. And I don't like to try food that I've never heard of before. You know, some people are like, let me try it. No. I'm from the Midwest. I call it meat and potatoes. That's all we have, all right? But I studied. I Googled it. And lentils, all right, are in essence, okay, part of the legume family. Woo! I pronounce that right? All right? And in essence, they're a bean. Now, they're not quite the same, a bit different, and they are, but they're in the same family as a bean. And so up here today, I have a can of Bush's Best country-style baked bean. Now, if we were at camp, there's many jokes that could be told, but we are not at camp, so those jokes will not be told. Oh, yeah. But this is what Shammah did. Brother King, could you just grab that and set it over here on my right, would you? Thank you so much, Brother Dominguez. Okay, this is what, okay, so you have Adino, all right, you have Adino, all right, 800 men. That's great, right? 800 men, is that great? Yes. All right. Then we have Eliezer. Had to peel his hand off of the sword. Is that great? Yeah. And then we have Shammah. A bean field. No. Because if you're considering this, it just doesn't logically make sense. It's like 800 men, so long, so hard, kill so many, they had to peel his hand off the sword, bean field. Well, I want to walk you through something here, and then we're going to make a couple of applications. But I want to show you the decline of a nation, of a culture, of a church, of a family, and of an individual. I want to show you scripturally how it happens. And so please lend me your ear, give me your attention, and I want to be a help to you. The last several years, I'm going to say the last decade, maybe a couple years more, I've heard statements from Christian young people, your generation and maybe 8 to 10 years older. They'll say things such as, I'm not dying on that hill. That's not truly important to Christianity. Come on, pastor. What's the big deal about that? And I want to do something today. I want to make those beans represent what we believe. Those are our standards. To a nation, it's a standard of righteousness. To a church, it's a standard of separation. To an individual, it's a standard of holiness and purity. These beans today are going to represent our standards. By the way, just let me make this statement. Many times, just as Shammah, you'll have to fight that battle alone. As I was considering this passage of Scripture, and the Lord really worked me over with it, it gave me some thoughts. But whose land was Shammah defending? It's God's land, right? Promised land. It was God's land he had given Israel. It was God's land. God had given to them. Shammah was simply defending what was God's and what was God's gift to Israel. Now I'm gonna give you some points here. Number one, all right? Beans, here we go. It's deep. Our food. Whoa! I studied for this. Okay, beans our food. Say it with me. Beans are food. Now, all right? Now, this is terrible, all right? But I have three children. When they were growing up, we watched Nemo, all right? And fish are friends, not food. I always think of that, you know, fish are friends, not food. No, but listen to me. Beans, I know, I brought it up. I'm sorry. Judge me later, all right? Beans are what? Food. Say it with me. Beans are food. One more. Are you in college? Okay, here we go. Come on. Beans are food. All right, so number one today, number one, we've learned something deep and doctrinal from the scriptures. Beans are food. Say it with me. Beans are food. Number two, listen. When you give the food supply to the enemy, where do you have to go for food? Listen. When you give up the food supply to the enemy, where do you have to go for food? I'm trying to show you something today from the scriptures. See, why do people change? Why do churches change? Why does culture change? What happens? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, God has given us something, brothers and sisters. He's given us something that belongs to us. He has given us not just eternal life, and I'm so thankful for that, but he's given me a life here to lay up treasure up there. And so he's given me something on this earth. Israel was given a promised land on this earth. Abraham looked for another country, a heavenly country, but God gave him the promised land on this earth. And I want you to grab hold of something here today. I have a purpose in this life. God has called me to do something, and I want to do everything I can to accomplish that purpose. And so number one this morning, beans are what? All right? Number two, okay, when I give up the food supply, where do I have to go for my food? You have to understand that. All right, when I give up my food supply to the enemy, I have to go to the enemy for my food. Number three, and if you've got your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter 13. First Samuel chapter 13, verse number 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son was there found. I said, number one, beans are food. I said, number two, when you give up the food supply to the enemy, where do you have to go to for your food? The enemy. Number three, when you go to the enemy for your food, they will demand your sword. This passage in 1 Samuel is literally what happened. The nation of Israel could not defend themselves. This is the state of modern-day Christianity. Do you understand? All right? When I give up the food supply, you say, it's a hill of beans. I'm not dying on that hill. I'm not fighting that fight. What's the big deal about it? It's really not that important. You know, it's Pastor, Brother Al, it's not the gospel. I mean, they're not, it's just a difference of opinion. It really doesn't matter at the end of the day. But the problem is that those beans, that field represents something. Beans are food. When I give up my food supply to the enemy, I have to go to the enemy for my food. When I go to the enemy for my food, they demand my sword. They said, hey, the Philistines said, no, you cannot have a sword in the land of Israel. You cannot have a spear in the land of Israel. You can have some farming tools, and we'll allow you to sharpen them, but if you need a new tool, you will have to come to us for that, and you will not get a sword or a spear. Hey, brothers and sisters, hey, I'll tell you right now, this book is being taken out of churches today. There are mainline denominations all across our country that have given up the book, and it's heartbreaking, and it's tragic, and what happened is once upon a time, they gave up a hill of beans. And when they gave up that field of beans, they had to go to the enemy for their food supply. When they went to the enemy for their food supply, the enemy demanded their sword. Number four, when they take your sword, they have taken your land without a fight. Let me say this culturally. You've all heard this, but Rome was never conquered. It fell from within. The United States is never going to be conquered. It will fall from within. Do you understand? Okay? Our culture in the last 70 years, in the time that it took for your grandparents to be born, to live, to have your parents, for them to live, and for you to be born and you to be here today, our culture has dramatically and drastically changed in a very negative way. And I'm going to tell you how. Once upon a time, we just started fighting for a hill of beans. We said, that's not important. That's not a big deal. That doesn't really matter. In the great context of things, hey, I'm talking about massive denominations that used to preach as hard as I preach, as hard as some of the great speakers, Brother Jude. I mean, they had them in all the denominations in the 30s and 40s and 50s. You go back and study the great preachers of the past, and most of them were not independent fundamental Baptists. They were all sorts of denominations. And I'm telling you right now, they believed in something, and they fought for something, and they did something by the grace of God. But once upon a time, they said, that hill, it's not worth dying for. Beans are food. They represent standards of belief and doctrine and principle. When you give up the bean field to the enemy, you have to go to the enemy for your food. When you go to the enemy for your food, they will demand your sword. What happened in the public school system in the United States of America? In your parents' or grandparents' day, they kicked God out. They demanded the sword. And we gave it to them. You know why? Needed food. Needed comfort. It's not worth fighting for. It's not the end of the world. We still have church. We still have the home. We gave up the school. When they take your sword, they have taken your land without a fight. I have watched, my wife and I have watched some of our friends change. Nothing drastic took place. Did life hit them? Yeah. Welcome to life, all right? I don't think Chama said, you know what I want to do now? I want to fight over a hill of beans. No, I think he said, I want to be like a Dino and kill 800 men. I think he said, I'd like to be like Eliezer and have him have to peel my hand off the sword. But God said, no, Chama, you're going to defend the bean field. So when they take your sword, they take your land without a fight. And number five, you now become dependent on them. You adopt their philosophies. You adopt their standards. You adopt their manner of life. And you serve their gods. Listen, young people, I know for some of you this is a little over your head. And you say, well, Brother Dahl, I'm not changing. Listen to me, young people. I'm telling you right now, I will almost guarantee there is a large section of this room right now that in 10 years will be different, will believe different, will live different than you are right now. And I'm not saying that to demean one single person in this room. I'm not saying that to demean anybody that's come out of this room at any time ever. But I want you to understand something right now. There is something worth fighting for. God gave us a sword. He gave us a book. He gave us the gift of living this life for him. And I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to do everything I can to stand for God, to defend his land, defend his territory. This is God's. Hey, brother, that's my marriage that God gifted to me. I'm going to do everything I can to defend that marriage. God gave me three children. I'm going to do everything I can to defend that home. God gave me a church that I minister in, and I know it's God's church, but while I'm there, I am there to defend it, and I'm there to battle for the bean field. And I know there's things culturally today. We say, well, you know, we just can't talk about that. Why? Why are we giving up the bean field? Because as we give that to the enemy says, hey, you want food? Give me your sword. And then they take my land. And then I adopt their philosophy. I adopt their culture. I adopt their manner of life. And I bow the knee to their God. By the way, if you'll study, that will not take time today. That is exactly what happened in Israel. They worshiped Baal. They worshiped Ashtoreth. They worshiped every perverse god out there. Why? They gave up the bean field. I don't want to be, well, I guess I don't care. Sometimes we say things like that and don't mean it. My spiritual gift is awkwardness. Okay? I just say it, all right? Okay, I watched in our culture 3 years ago this month, I watched our culture go crazy. 3 years ago, the end of this month, we lost our minds. I watched churches stop meeting. And I'm not talking about liberal, godless, wicked churches. I'm talking about good, godly churches. Yeah. We stopped meeting. We freaked out. And I'm telling you right now, hey, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, and I'm not trying to tell anybody anything wrong in that sense, but I'm telling you, we didn't know what to do. We never dealt with a pandemic before. We didn't even know what it meant, all right? You know, and all across the world, you know, everybody was going to die. I mean, we were going to lose like half the people, and wow, it's terrible, you know? And I think they got that from some Marvel movie or something about, or whatever. You know, Brother Judah told me about it. He watches all that stuff. But, you know, whatever, half the people, half the people were going to die. We were all freaking out. We didn't know what to do. And I remember the governor in the state of Wisconsin, he gave a 60-day stay. You couldn't meet. He had to meet in groups of 10 or less. So we met all over our church property, 10 people in the auditorium, 10 people in the balcony, 10 people in the fellowship hall, 10 people here, 10 people there. And we did the best we could to honor the king. Then we met outside, had drive-in services. Those were just ridiculous. But praise God, you know, they were what they were. And, you know, people, for amen, honk the horn. Just please, like, shut up, you know. All right. But then after 60 days, our governor issued a second mandate. By the way, the mandate was that you had to wear your mask when you're in the church house. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't go to church for my governor, and I don't go to church for my president.
That's right.
I go to church for my God. And I don't sing to my governor, and I don't sing to my president. I sing to my God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not trying to be judgmental or condemning. I mean this, all right? I'm saying this as much of a spirit of humility as I can. But I want you to know, when I go to church for my God. And when he issued that second 60-day stay, and said, you can't meet together as God would have you to meet. By the way, the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I'm going to tell you right now, I said, I'm done. I'm done. The governor has broken the law. He had the right to issue one 60-day mandate, but the second one said he had to go to the state legislature and get permission. He tried to legally work around it, and he's welcome to do anything he wants to do, but I don't have to pretend that the emperor is wearing clothes when he's not wearing no clothes. And I said, we're done. We're going to have church, we're going to come back together, and we're going to serve God. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to battle for the bean field. Were there some people that didn't like it? Yes, there were. Were there some people that got offended? Yes, there were. But I'm going to tell you right now, I did what I did to obey God rather than man. And would to God today, you and I, hey, that's cultural, and I understand that. Let me talk about something that's down on our level. Let's talk about women dressing like women and men dressing like men. I know you're at Bible college, and I know you have a dress code, and I know you got to dress this way. But summertime's coming, and you're going to go home, and you're going to get to wear anything you want. And I am absolutely disgusted and appalled at what goes on. It's vulgar to me. You say, well, you shouldn't look. You shouldn't wear it. I mean, if it's not right and you can't honor God, I'm so tired. The mentality in Christianity is, well, you know, what's wrong with it? It shouldn't be what's wrong with it. It's what's right with it. I mean, hey, come on, man. I'm not doing what I'm doing to please the man. I'm doing what I'm doing to please my God. And I'll tell you right now, this transgender nonsense that's going on in the United States of America, it started because God's people gave up the bean field. And I'll tell you something. Think about it with me. If you want, just consider this. In 1940, we went to World War. World War II happened. The women, for the first time in our country's history, en masse went to the workplace. They had to out of necessity. Our culture, everything was threatened. Our way of life was threatened. And extreme times called for extreme measures. And those ladies went into the workplace for the first time in mass. When the men came home from the war, we won the war. God gave us the victory. The greatest generation. If you've ever been out to Washington, D.C., and you walk through that memorial, it's wonderful. It brings tears to your eyes. And thank God for that great generation that came before. But I'll tell you something. The women said, we're not going back into the homes. It's the truth. It's the dawn of daycare. Women said, we like working. We'd rather work and make our own money. And I'm not being critical of any woman who works. Proverbs 31 talks about that woman who works and virtuous, and praise God for her. But her first responsibility is to raise her family. If you had a mom that had to work to make ends meet, thank God for her. But listen to me. In mass, the lady said no. Out of that generation came the feminist movement. That greatest generation came home and they had a bunch of babies. Baby boomers. The feminist movement came out of that. Women said that's where Barbie came out of. We girls can do anything. I remember that tagline even in the 80s. Listen to me, ladies. You're not a man. You're not meant to be a man. You're not meant to do the things a man should. By the way, men, just in case some of you are confused, all right, I don't know who I'm looking at here, but wow, that's harsh. Eddie, all right? Oh! Hey, listen. Men aren't supposed to be women. I hope I'm preaching to the choir this morning. But hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I went to college with kids that today, I love them, but they've gone in a different direction. How did it happen? They gave up the bean field. When they gave up the bean field, it's not a big deal. Come on, brother. Come on, preacher. What's the big deal about that? It's just britches on a woman. That's not the end of the world. Do you really think God cares? Yeah, I do. There's a great man, one of three David's mightiest men, who the Lord took time to mention, and all that he did was defend a field of beans. They gave up the bean field. When they gave up the bean field, they had to go to the enemy for their food supply. When they went to the enemy for their food supply, the enemy said, give me your sword. You can't preach on that topic anymore, preacher. You can't talk about that in your church. You can't bring that issue up. No, 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 no. And they took our land without a fight. They took churches that were conservative and God-fearing, separated, strong, fundamental. Shredded them. And they took their land without a fight. And those churches, those families, those homes, this culture adopted the philosophy, the manner of life of pagans. And we've served their gods. You say, oh, Brother Dahl, come on. Young person, listen to me. You're in a good place right now. God's trying to do something in your life. He's working. Hey, that same God who called you, that same God who brought you here, that same God who's done what he's done, he hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, you say, well, I just don't think it's a big deal. Would you listen to me? That bean field, all the other Israelites that were with Shammah said, let it be. Let it go, Shammah. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. We got plenty of other bean fields. We got plenty of other places that we can eat from. Just let that bean field go. Don't worry about it. Don't fight over it. It doesn't matter. And yet God today says, listen, listen, there is something worth fighting for. And would to God today, you and I would step back and say, I'll fight for that standard of separation. I need to hurry. But I want you to understand something today for your soul. Satan will play the long game. Now, I'm not telling you he can condemn you and send you to hell. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're saved forever. But Satan will play a long game for the soul of your church, for your family, and for our nation. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. Satan desires a foothold. He will turn that into a stronghold. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And when he turns that into a stronghold, you will be taken captive by him at his will. That's 2 Timothy in chapter 2. And I'm begging you to step back for just a moment and consider this. Because today, in Christianity, in fundamentalism, we have all sorts of things that are going on. We are losing the battle. And I'm not trying to. The Lord wins in the end. And I'm thankful for that. But would to God, when he comes, would he find faith on the earth? Would he find those that are faithful? Would he find those men and women who say, hey, listen to me. That is our field. That is what God gave me. Hey, this issue of separation, this standard, the world may mock and the world may belittle and the world may make fun of me, but I don't care. This is my bean field. This is God. has. He gave it to me. I'll defend it, and I'll fight for it, and I'll do what God would have me to do. You say, oh, preacher, it's just music. There's nothing wrong. The words are good. You know, come on. I mean, I would never bring it into church. Pray tell, I thought you were the temple of the Holy God. I thought we as Baptists didn't believe that a church house was where God resided. I thought it was us. Well, I mean, you don't understand. No, I do understand. You have decided in your heart of hearts, it isn't worth fighting for. And you say, well, Philistines, take it. Take it. Oh, no, you can sit out there and be like, I would never. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Once you begin this progression, I'll tell you right now, it is a sick, disgusting slide into oblivion. You say, well, we still love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I know that doesn't go well with today's modern. You don't know my heart. I don't. Do you understand today? I can't tell you what one of you are thinking. I think I might know what some of you are thinking, but I can't see what anybody's thinking right now. I have no concept. I can't see your heart, but I can see what you do and how you live. I know that. And Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, brother, I can't keep his commandments when I give him the enemy my sword. I can't say nothing about that no more. I know. You compromise yourself. Because as I give up this bean field, I can't say anything to the brother in Christ who's given up his bean field. Because I'm a hypocrite. Well, you got to understand, I had a good reason for this. I wouldn't have been able to reach people like God would have me. And hold on a second here. You don't reach anybody. The Holy Spirit of God does. You are called to be a laborer in the harvest. It is God's work. It is God's harvest. It's God's will. And you need to just step up and understand that. You are nothing special. It is God. It is God that is special in you. And blessed be the name of God. And I am so thankful for that. But when I step back and understand today, hey, God told me to stand for that. And bless God. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I wonder about you young people. In your heart of hearts, there's a dozen topics I'd like to talk about. Time won't allow. In your heart of hearts, what bean field has the Lord talked to you about? I may not have said a thing about it. The Holy Spirit did. I wonder today if we in this room would say, here's the deal, God. I'm probably never going to kill 800 men. Hey, vast majority of young men in this room, you'll never pastor a church of 800 people. I'm not saying that to be mean. You may not be like the generation who came before. You may not be the giant of the faith. You may not be so remarkable that you fought until the sword couldn't come out of your hand. Those martyrs of old, we read about them, history tells us. But bless God, every single one of us in this room today can fight for the bean field.
Amen.
Every single one of us, and can be listed with David's three mightiest men. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Young people, there's a fight. There's a battle for the souls of mankind. And it's time that we get involved in that battle. It's time that we fight the good fight of faith. It's time that we step back and say, no, this is what God gave me. He gave me separation. He gave me standards. He told me to come out from the world. It's not that I'm supposed to be not worldly. It ought to be that I'm supposed to be godly. And as you kneel there, as you stand there today, you say, God, I may never be like Adino. God, I may never be like Eliezer. But I sure can be Sean. And I'm not giving up what you gave me. I'm going to stand for the scriptures. I'm going to stand for truth. I know it's not culturally popular. Come on, man. And out of that generation, the greatest generation, came the feminist movement. Out of the feminist movement came the homosexual movement. Out of the hippie movement. Out of the hippie movement came the homosexual movement. Out of the homosexual movement came the transgender movement. Welcome to today. What happened? We gave up the bean field. When mama said, I don't want to go back to work, we gave it up. We gave it up. And Satan said, thank you very much. I'll take this bean field, and I'll take the next one, and I'll take the next one, and I'll take the next one, and I'll take the next one. Till today, when in our churches, we're struggling with these topics. How does it happen? Well, Satan plays the long game. He said, go ahead. It's just a little thing. It's not a hill worth dying on. Some of you today, that's what he whispers in your shoulder. He stands there, he whispers in your ear, and he says, hey, don't, come on. You don't have to be one of those ugly Christians. You don't have to be one of those people. Brother, I wonder today what area of your life has the Lord spoken to you about? As you go back to your seat, one more time, what are beans? Beans are what? Food. Say it with me. Beans are what? Food. When you give up the food supply to the enemy, where do you have to go for your food? The enemy. When you go to the enemy for your food, they will demand your what? Sword. Okay? This. They'll demand your sword. When they take your sword, they have taken your land without a fight. You now become dependent on them. You adopt their philosophies. You adopt their standards. You adopt their manner of life. And you serve their gods. Would to God today, every single one of you would say, I will never serve the God of this world. I'll battle